My guest at this time is Oregon Republican Congressman Greg Walden. He represents the Beaver State's 2nd Congressional District, and he's also a member of the House Republican leadership. He's chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee, and that means his job is to get Republicans elected and reelected to the House of Representatives. He is also the lead sponsor of legislation in the House that would forbid the government from minting a trillion-dollar platinum coin to help address our debt and deficit concerns. Over the weekend, the U.S. Treasury Department announced that it was not going to pursue such a plan to deal with our fiscal woes, but there are still a lot of folks, particularly on the Democratic side of the aisle and in liberal academia, who seem to be in favor of this idea, so the debate may not be going away right away just because of the Obama administration's decision. But the congressman is here to explain his bill and the debate that surrounds it. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Greg, it's really good to be with you. Thank you.
This issue has been out there for at least several days, if not a few weeks now, and proponents seem to think this is a good idea. You just mint this, and all of a sudden these $1 trillion is no longer a problem. You just pay that off, and then we're in better financial shape than we were before. How did this idea get traction?
Well, you know, it's been kicked around. It's been proposed in the last week or so. At first, I thought it was laughable because, frankly, it is, but it was a very serious proposal put forward by a serious legislator from Manhattan, Jerry Nadler, who has advocated for it in the press, the public. And then Paul Krugman, the Princeton professor, Nobel laureate economist, said, you know, this is a viable option. And then the president's people were asked about it this week, and Jay Carney three times refused to rule it out as an option. So it apparently has legs in liberal Washington and really points to the problem we face, those of us on the conservative side who are trying to figure out how to get America's debt and deficit under control and cut back on runaway spending.
What does it tell you about economic understanding on the Hill and possibly across the country that people think you can simply create more money and then all of a sudden your debts are gone?
Well, if it's that easy, then let's mint 17 of them, and then we'll have a $600 billion surplus. I mean, this is absurd, and it really speaks to the depth of the problem. It's why Americans need to call out on this and call out their members of Congress, call out the White House, go to our, you know, nrcc.org website, nrcc.org, where you can weigh in there on it. I mean, it is absolutely outrageous. And, you know, gold coins, silver coins, they're tied to a nominal value or value of the underlying mineral. So if it's gold, it's tied kind of the price of gold and limited in the size of denomination. Platinum, these were designed to be collector coins, commemorative coins, not something to be abused and used as a way to obfuscate the real problem, which is deficit spending, by printing a $1 trillion platinum coin, which, Greg, by the way, if it were tied to value of platinum today, would weigh 44 million pounds.
That'd be a little tough to lug around.
You know, you'd have a hole in your pocket.
Absolutely right. So I don't know how closely you've studied the impact if, in fact, this were to go forward, but obviously to just create $1 trillion out of thin air and claim that it's in the economy, what would be the inflationary impact?
Well, I'm a journalism major, not an economics major, but I think I could do the math here and predict that it will be inflationary. You know, when you're adding false value to the supply, you diminish the value of the money people are holding. I mean, it just can't work any other way. I mean, they can spin it here, spin it there, but if the government's creating money from where there is no value, then they're devaluing the money that we have. And you know, history's littered with countries that have attempted to go down this path. And you end up with hyperinflation and devalued currency. That's hard on seniors. That's hard on families. People who have saved all their lives see the value of what they've saved evaporate because the politicians in Washington, especially on the left, think this is the solution, is just print more money, mint more coins, ignore the real underlying problem.
What does your legislation specifically do?
You know, it would basically take away this authority by limiting the value of the coins to a very small limit and prevent this from happening. You could still mint a platinum coin, but, you know, it would be for the purpose it was intended for, a coin collector's coin, not a debt incurs way out.
What's your sense on how much traction this really has? You mentioned Congressman Nadler, obviously. Folks like Paul Krugman have suggested it's an idea worth exploring, but out of 435 members in the House of Representatives, do you get the idea that this would be a real close vote?
Oh, I don't think it would be. I don't think anybody with an ounce of common sense would think that you can just mint a coin and mint your way out of this enormous $1 trillion every year increase in deficit spending. Although there'd probably be some that think, well, that's a viable option. That way we don't have to take the hard votes and make the tough decisions we were sent there to do. This would be a way just to kick the can down the road again, ignore the underlying problem, which is that our debt now exceeds the size of our economy. And when countries reach that point, their growth rates go down for 20 years, and it hurts your economy, eventually bankruptcy. Look at what's happening in Spain and Portugal. And you know, you can go back in time to situations in Argentina and other countries where they got into this mess. They tried to buy their way out of it. The Weimar Republic did it, you know, and everybody had wheelbarrows full of cash and no value.
Well, how do you think this will impact the upcoming debate, specifically on the debt ceiling and any other spending debates that come forward? Obviously, Republicans are talking about spending cuts, entitlement reforms, and when this is kind of the alternative idea, how much tougher does that make it to find some common ground?
Well, I have great faith in the American people that when they learn about this, they're going to see this as laughable and dangerous as I do, and that they will weigh in. They'll go to places like our NRCC.org website, make their views known, learn more about it. They'll call their own legislator, House or Senate. They'll call the White House. They'll petition there. I mean, we got to stop this in its tracks. This is the kind of lunacy that is rampant today in Washington. You have a president who says that we don't have a spending problem. How can you say that when the Congressional Budget Office just told us this week we're already $293 billion in the red this fiscal year that started October 1st, and we'll go over $1 trillion in the red once again, 5 years in a row, all under this president, by the end of the fiscal year? We have a spending problem. It's like an addict who doesn't believe he has an addiction. Eventually, you got to admit you have a problem. Then you got to get on a recovery plan so that you can get over your addiction. And that's what we have in America. We have an addiction on deficit spending. People think there's an easy way out, and there isn't. We've got to make the difficult but important choices to get America on the right track.
Two quick questions before we let you go, Congressman. First of all, we've talked to some of your colleagues in the House and in the Senate on the Republican side, and most seem to be willing to endure a temporary partial government shutdown if it comes to that, to force what they consider essential spending cuts and reforms. As a member of the leadership, do you get the sense the leadership's ready to head there if necessary?
You know, I think that we have to get these reforms, and at some point you have to draw the line in the sand or in the concrete and just stop this runaway spending. So, you know, I hope it doesn't get to that. You know, nobody wants — I was a small business owner for 22 years. You didn't want to default on your loans. You didn't want to do these things. But you did have to face up to reality. And the reality is we've got to get spending under control. And so hopefully it doesn't come to that, but it may well.
And last,
it's time to have this fight.
Last question. As I mentioned, your job is to help get elected and reelected Republicans in the House. You probably saw the kind of tongue-in-cheek poll that came out this week showing some less than pleasant things that are more popular than Congress right now. So what's your message to voters who are kind of throwing up their hands as they watch what happens
in
Washington?
Yeah, I had a constituent at town hall say, do you realize Congress now is less popular than broccoli and Brussels sprouts? And, you know, I don't know what else, but everything just about. Look, we're a divided country that's facing really tough problems, and this coin is emblematic of what we face on the other side under a future Speaker Pelosi if she gets her way. Barack Obama, the President of the United States, wants her back in power as Speaker of the House so he can end his last 2 years as he began his first by rushing legislation through that completely upends our economy, drives up the deficit, takes over things that have always been in the private sector, puts them in the public sector, and doesn't even give you time to read the bills. That's my job, is to make sure that Speaker Pelosi does not give President Obama a free check on the Congress and get everything he wants in his last 2 years without any balance.
Congressman, we'll be watching the battle. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Oregon Republican Congressman Greg Walden represents his state's 2nd Congressional District. He's also a member of the House GOP leadership as chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.